We'd like to say certainly good morning to each one. It's good to be in the Lord's house again. Good to be here at Riverside. We thank the Lord for it. Appreciate Brother Victor asked us to come. And we hope and pray if you're here this morning lost, that you'll see your need and you'll call upon the Lord before this service over. You got to remember, we're in time. God give us time. That's why we're in the time we're in, day, night, weeks, years, months. That's the time to get saved when we're in time. He gave us the ability. He gave us the opportunity to make decisions in this world. And he gave us the opportunity and the ability to make the decision of him or reject him. This is the time we got to do it while we're in time. Now let me say this. I've said this many times. When you go out into eternity, your decision making is over. You'll make no more decisions. God will make the decision. He'll determine where you're at, where you're going to, with what you do with him in this life. That's simple and easy understood. Even if it's so simple, a child can understand it. That you've got to make a decision while that we're in time. Because he gave us that ability, gave us that opportunity. And he loved us so much, he gave us mercy. And he didn't have to, as someone said earlier. He didn't have to go to the cross. He didn't have to die. He had all he needed with the Father.
That's right. Amen, bro. Bless him, Lord.
So, he loved us so much. Even though we were sinful and we rejected him and man walked away from him, he still loved us so much that God required a sacrifice, a perfect sacrifice for what man had done. Because God had pronounced death upon man and God wasn't going to withdraw that. So his son said, I'll go down. Pay the price that you and I could have what we have today. That you and I could not be afraid of what man can do, but we know what God will do. And he gave us mercy and called us, touched our soul, convicted us of our sins, showed us where we stood and what we needed. And then he waited on us to come. It's your choice. God never did send nobody to hell. Let me say that again. God never did send anybody to hell. He done everything that he could to keep people out of hell. Even the kings back in the old Bible days, they had a choice. They had a choice other to believe God or to believe man. Every human being has had a choice from the time that they was born. Even when Adam and Eve was created, God gave them a choice. Now I want you to think of this, and I'm going to get into the message right now. I want you to pray for me. Adam and Eve, when they was created, if you go and study the Bible, they was perfect. They knowed no sin. Perfect. And God put them in the garden and he said, now you've got everything you need here. Of every tree that you can eat the fruit of, I provide you food. Every tree that's in the garden you can eat of, except the tree in the midst of good and evil, of knowledge, I want you to stay away from it. Don't you eat of that tree. Because that's one tree you can't take hold of. All the rest of them you can eat. He said, but the day that you eat of this tree, you shall surely die. That's what God told them. Now think about it. They was perfect. They knowed no sin. They was so perfect that they didn't know they was naked. Read the Bible. They didn't know they was naked. Sin had never entered in to their mind. But when Eve, the serpent come along, the devil, he come along and enticed her. Now I want you to get the point. God told Eve, told Adam, the day that you eat of that tree, you shall surely die. Satan didn't come to Eve and tell her that God didn't exist. He didn't tell her that God done this or that. But he said this. Eve told him, he said, eat of the tree. Eve said, God said, the day we eat of that, we shall die. He said, God knows that you shall not die. But the day that you eat of this, you'll become as God, knowing right from wrong, and you'll be something great. In other words, what he put in her mind. You'll be as God. That's what he told her. He didn't deny God. He didn't deny God said what he said, but he told her, thou shalt not die. He lied to her. You see, that's how the world is doing today. And that's sort of going to be our message. In other words, we got to make sure we know in whom we have believed. Because if we believe in man, you're going to wind up in hell. That's simple. We've got to believe what God said. I'm going to read some scriptures. I want you to turn your Bibles and read with me in the New Testament over in the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew. We're going to read a couple of verses there, and then we'll be going into another scripture a little later over in the book of John, I believe it is. We'll be going to. But I want you to notice what he said, 24th chapter. Here's what he said, and we're going to start reading in the third verse. He said, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him, privately saying, tell us when these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear wars and rumors of wars, and trouble, and see that ye be not troubled, but all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Now we're going to stop reading right there. Thank you for standing for the Word of God. We're going to go over in the book of John just in a few moments of time, that we're going to read some scriptures there a little later that we'll find. Now he tells us in the scripture that we need to be cautious. The many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and deceiving many. Now, this is what the world is doing, friend. They're camouflaging with the name of Jesus. These religion is camouflaging with Jesus' name on their rotten doctrine to mislead mankind and take them to hell. It's not every church of this morning we find that we look at and go down the road that's got a sign on it and saying it's a house of God. It's not everyone that says they're saved that is saved. But brother, listen, if you don't have the Word of God preached in it, if you don't have the whole Word of God and the power of Almighty God and the Spirit, it's no church at all. You can't have a church and it be against God. Now, he said, let no man deceive you. Many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and deceiving many. In other words, what's he telling me there? He's telling me man's going to get his doctrine in. He's going to set up his church, and he's going to teach his doctrine, and they're going to use my name to camouflage of what they're doing. They're teaching false doctrine. How Satan's going to camouflage with the name of Jesus to deceive man. This is what's happening today. You can see it all over the world. Brother, it don't make a church. What makes a church is God Almighty being in it. is the Spirit of God. Now, that's what makes a church. It don't make a church because it's full over here and running over. The church, it don't mean it's a church. Brother, when they get up and just read part of the Bible, it's a church when God is it and His power is in it. Bless God this morning. And we can shout His praises. Why? Because we've got something to shout about. Not everyone is preaching the gospel. They're preaching things, false doctrine. He said in the book of John, I believe it was, he said that many will come. False teachers, false preachers, a deceiving many. Brother, we need to get established. Brother, you find these people not established, they're like a bubble on the sea. Hey, they hop up and then they bow down. They hop up, then they go down. And they'll float just any old way. But Brother God gives us a foundation we can be established. And that in it. And we'll be firm and know what we believe in. God is faithful. God is faithful in what He says. People tell me, preacher, you better watch your preaching. You may exit out of this life. Brother Hitch, God's got the reign. He's got the hold. Brother, I don't care anything except God Almighty. He called us to preach the gospel. He said the end is coming. Our people are still unsaved. And many being the multitude is being deceived day after day. Look at this world. It's a mess. It's a total mess. Sin is raging everywhere that you go, in every city that you go in. You can go out west, and brother, they're so brave out there. How do you find a man with a white robe on and long hair standing there? And people are so foolish. They'll walk up and give him $5 to take a picture and says he's Christ. That's what's called foolish. Huh? I wouldn't give him a half cent. But people are grabbing. They'll get up there beside him. Him sit right on the corner. And they'll smile real big. Somebody snapped a picture. All he's done is use the name of Jesus to get a bunch of money. That's all he's done. He don't know Jesus. If he did, he wouldn't be doing that. I'm telling you, say, why you know, preacher? Because, brother, the Bible says you'll know a tree by the fruit it bears. You know how he lives, what he does, whether he's been born again. God saved me, and he saved Chester and Mary Harrell. He didn't save us different. He gave us the same salvation and the same spirit, the same power. And if we don't use it, and if we don't stand on it, and we don't stand boldly in the eyes of sin, it's not God's fault. It's our fault because he said, I'll give you the strength that you need to serve me. People today, just because it's called a religious group, that don't mean God's in it. I'm going to tell you, boys, how there's one group that says, Mohammed. Brother, that's not Christ. Christ come from God Almighty. They use it as such. And the God of Allah. Allah. They're studying. That's a moon god. That's not God of the universe. They're deceiving people. And brother, the priesthood is over with. Christ said, I became the high priest. I became the one that put up the sacrifice for your sins. And brother, listen. He said, I give you the power to overcome the wicked one. That you can be in that day. Priesthood is no more. It was under the law. Putting up animals for sacrifices is no good no more. God don't even recognize that garbage. You hear me? God don't recognize it. That's why. Because it's not what it is. Christ fulfilled all that. And you can go to a priest. You can go to a rabbi. and you can cry all you want to, and you can put your trust in them, and I'll guarantee you one thing. According to God's word, you'll be in hell with them, because you can't get saved that way. Christ said, I am the high priest. In other words, what he did, the priesthood was back in the old Bible day when they had the temple. They said he set up the priesthood. It would go in and give sacrifices for the people. First of all, the priest, high priest, he had to go into the holiest of holy. He put up a sacrifice for his own self. Then God would come down in a smoke, in the cloud, in that building, to show to the people that I approved of it. And then he would come out, and then he would have put a sacrifice for the people. And they would come into the temple, they would come to the basin of water, and they could come right on up to the sacrifice. And he would put down a sacrifice for them. He would kill the lamb, kill the animal, put it on the altar, sprinkle the blood. And that would forgive them their sins for how long? How long? 1 year. They had to go over it again and redo it. When Christ came, they rejected him because they thought he was going to come on a big old white horse. Someone said the other day to me, my wife talking about how I hear the preacher talking about the white horse. We all going to come back on a white horse. I said to my wife, I wonder if he gives me my cowboy boots to hold my foot in the stirrups. If that's going to happen. We ain't going to be no wild horse. Huh? Did you hear me? When he comes back, he's coming back to work. On a cloud. He told them in Jerusalem, and I believe it above any man. Brother, I don't care. I'll stick with this book. I'm not the smartest man living. But I'll tell you one thing. I believe what God says in his holy book. And I will never move from it, no matter what. Jesus said this. When he went on the Mount of Olives that day, that he was going to send back to the Father. Stepped up on the Mount of Olives, and they were there watching. The cloud come down, he rose up and he got on it. And they stood there gazing up into heaven. The angel come out and said, oh, you men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into the heavens? This same Jesus that you see go away will come again in the same like manner. Now, what are you going to believe? You're going to believe he's going to come back on a black, white, red horse, whatever? Or you believe he's going to come back like he said he would?
Amen.
With a shout of the archangel.
That's right.
Amen? Brother, I'm not worried about it. I don't need my cowboy boots to keep my foot in the stirrup. I'm not going to be on a horse. I'm going to be rising up to meet him.
Amen.
Did you hear me? Jesus is coming back. Now I'm going to believe this rotten stuff's going around. If it's not Bible, I reject it. You say, preacher, how you know the Bible's right? Your authorized King James Version Bible, 1611 model, they call it. That's the true Bible. That was translated from the scrolls into book form. Jesus said, behold, I come in the volume of book. It is written to me, O Lord. We've got it. Since that book has come out, it was translated into English. They got it in all languages. Ever since then, Satan has got men to rewrite the Bible. He's got them to rewrite it and put it on the market. Now you go to a bookstore and you ask them for the old authorized King James Version Bible, and they don't have it. But they got 400 of the others. You say, preacher, how do you know that? I've been to them. I've asked them. Ohio, Kentucky, Tennessee. I've been there, and I've asked them for it. What did you do with it? We just don't get them no more. They quit printing them.
You know why they quit printing them? Because it's the word of truth. That's why they quit printing them. And now they've got what man thinks. They've got men. What did the Lord say in the Bible? He said, he that adds to the prophecy of this book, the plagues of this book shall be added unto him. He that takes from the prophecy of this book, his part shall be taken out of the book of life. Don't mean he's been saved. It means he has no chance of being saved. He's done, turned himself over to a reprobated mind. When he starts taking things out of the book and putting his thoughts in there. You say, preacher, how have they done it? I've read it. Modern English, modern man, tried. Living Word Bible, tried. Multitudes more. They take the word hell out. They put their theory in there. That's damnable. That's deceiving people. We got some of these prophets, some of these preachers gets in the pulpit. That's what they use. They're not preachers of God. They're preachers of self and of Satan. You hear me? We need to call it like it is and stand up for the one that stood up for you and I in the name that we cannot stand for ourselves. Man, he saved me for a purpose, Chester. He saved me to shine a light. The only way I can shine that light is walk by his word. And show the people that I'm established in the word. Let no man deceive you. We've got multitudes today being deceived with the camouflaging of Jesus' name. He said many will come saying I am Christ. And deceive many. What they do, they want to teach their doctrine and they camouflage it with the name of Jesus, and people only hear the first two or three words that you say most of the time. So they believe in Jesus, we'll just believe what they're saying. That's how the public is. But the children of God, what did he say? Huh? We got no excuse for believing that garbage. We got no excuse for going along with that stuff. He said, it shall it be in the end of the time. We're in the days of the last days. The end of time is coming. It's closer than we might realize. He said they would come. They would be there. Now, you and I got no business believing that stuff. How can we keep from it, preacher? Well, what did Jesus say? I believe it was the book of Matthew, the book of St. John. He said, my sheep. I'm a sheep. I'm not a goat. I'm his. I don't belong to nobody else. He said, my sheep know my voice. And a voice of a stranger they will not hear. What's that telling me? When a false prophet gets up, he said, my sheep won't hear it. They'll reject it. They'll know it's wrong. If you don't know something's wrong, you better get on your knees and get salvation. Because God never did save us, but he let us know where we're going. He let us know what's confronting us. And he never leads us. So if you walk in a house where they teach a false doctrine, and you're supposed to be saved, when they start speaking, God will let you know.
Amen,
you better get up and just say nothing and make yourself scarce. Because you don't need to be there.
Amen.
You say, preacher, can I help change them? You're not going to change a bunch of people that's already given in to the Satan teaching. Period. When they see you leave, they know something's wrong. If they come and ask you, why'd you leave? Then the time to open the door on them and tell them you're preaching the wrong kind of stuff. You're not preaching salvation. See, salvation is different to what man thinks. The Bible, he told Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a big man. He was a teacher of the law. He was the leader of Israel. He sat on the Sanhedrin court. He was respected with all his people. He come to Jesus by night. Why did he come by night? He didn't want his college to see him talking to Jesus. He didn't want nobody to see him. I'll go to this man at night and I'll see what he's talking about. Nicodemus went to him. He said, Lord, he said, I know thou art a prophet sent from God. I know you're a prophet. Notice the language he used. That was the wrong language he used. He should say, I know that thou art the Son of God, but he didn't know that. He didn't know it. He said, I know thou art a prophet. The Lord looked at him. He said, you must be born again. Nicodemus looked at the Lord. He said, how can I enter the second time into my mother's womb and be born? I've already been born once. What are you talking about, in other words? He said, Nicodemus, he said, that which is born to flesh is flesh. That which is born to spirit is spirit. That's the difference. You've got to get it on the inside. He said, you must be born again. There's a subject brought up about the commandments. The fellow said, I've kept them from my youth up. I've done all that, Lord. I've obeyed the Ten Commandments. He said, thou must be born again. See, what he's telling us, there's nothing we can do in our own self, in our own teaching, and reading the Bible. He said, these are they that testify of me, but they won't come to me that they might have life. They think reading the Bible, singing a song, is all they need to get to heaven. And that's not going to get you there. God said, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Now I want you to listen to what he said. It's not everybody that gets in the pulpit is a preacher of God. We got to realize that. We've got to understand that. And you say, preacher, they'll railroad you and they'll run you out of town. When they do, I'll be preaching on the way out. I don't do what I do for man. I do it for the work of the Lord and the sake of lost people. If I didn't love the sinner, I wouldn't be preaching to you. I wouldn't be warning you. If God hadn't loved us beyond any love that could be, he wouldn't have died on the tree. But he made a way for you and I. Amen. What wrong with man? We want to get the credit. We want to do it. We're too proud, as I believe what someone said earlier. We're too proud to humble down and ask him to save our soul. Repent. How do you know you're saved? That'd be a good question. Because it ain't going to do you no good on the day of judgment. You get it now, you're not going to get it. He said this, study the scriptures. These are they that testify of me, but they won't come to me that they might be saved. Just like I said a while ago, they're teaching part of the word, using the name of Jesus to camouflage it, but getting their doctrine in on it and deceiving people. That's it. You can't be a rabbi. I'm not a rabbi. Rabbis was done when Christ came. The priesthood was over when Christ came. But the devil is running rapid ever since. He's the prince and the power of darkness of this world. Satan is. The Bible says he's the prince of this world, of darkness. And people will believe a lie before they believe the truth. I mean, that's open-minded today. They'll believe some rascal telling them something good they'd want to hear before they believe the truth. A man that will compromise with sin from the pulpit and make you feel good in sin, he's the man that's misleading you. The Bible called us to preach the gospel to every man, condemn sin, and exalt God. That's what he called us for. Now on the day of judgment, you're not going to have time to get saved. When death comes to this body and the soul leaves it, it's over. It's for saving grace. You're going out to meet God. God will make the decision then when he looks. God knows the heart.
Amen.
He knows more about you than you know about yourself.
Amen,
he knows what you're going to think before you think it.
Amen.
What do you think? He looks at us. People don't get established. Like a bubble on sea, just bob around and work. That ain't the way Jesus said. He said, be established. Get on the rock. In the book of Proverbs, he gave us four animals that we could learn from. I told people that one time I was preaching. I said, the little ape, you can learn lessons from it if you'd watch it. Some people blurred their eyes. The Bible says they are little folks, but they're wise. Huh? An ape. You ever sit and watch them? I have. I read that in the Bible, and I always remember. And I get out there someday at some time and I just watch these things. Maybe they just keep moving. They run back and forth. What do they do? In the day of what? Harvest, they gather their food in, and every one of them is working. They're either going to get food or bring it back. They work while the season is good. While the harvest is. And if you'll notice, some of them, every once in a while, want to get a bigger load. It can carry almost, and hit this tugging and push. What happened? Well, there's some rest of them that get hold, and they happy. What did Jesus tell us? He said, we are what? To stand for one another and help one another. But we're to work in the time of harvest. If we don't, the harvest is going to pass. We've got no food. What's he tell us? He said, now when you look out amongst you, he says, the field is white with harvest, but the labors are few. Pray that the Lord will send labors that we can work. He's talking about the lost people. You and I are his workers, his people. You and I is the one he's dependent on to shine the light. Brother, I'm telling you, this light better be in you. You better have some oil in your lamp. If you don't have, you can't burn right. He gives us an example of 10 virgins. Now, why do you think he gives us an example? Why do you think he showed us about Daniel? Why do you think he told us in the Bible about the three Hebrew children? Why do you think he thought it was necessary to tell you and I in the 20th century about these men? Why? Because he's showing us what faith in God will do. Fields is white with harvest. In other words, the lost, there are many. Labors are few. Pray that God will send labors, that he'll get saved people, and they become a labor to help us gather the fruit in the season that we're in. Because as soon day, when Christ comes back, the season's over. That's it. If you've not got in, you ain't going to get in. 10 Hebrew people, or 10 virgins, sir, they had both had lamps. They all had lamps. Five of them fooled around, played around. They didn't get no oil in their lamps. When it time come for the Lord to come and require of them, they rose up. Five of them had oil in their lamps. And they went out to meet him. Those that had no oil in their lamps, what did they say to the five? They said, give us your oil, some of your oil, that we may have some oil. Nope, you can't do that. You didn't get it, you're not going to get it. We can't give it to you. He's the only one who can give it to you. We all got the lamp, but we've got to get the oil in the lamp in order to burn, to shine a light. There's no oil in the lamp. The wick may be there, but there'll be no light. I was raised up with lamps. Some of you young people probably don't know nothing about it. We had lamps. They'd fill it full of oil. Strike a match to the wick. Every once in a while, they'd have to trim the wick. Strike a match to it again. Turn the wick up. It was shining light. Sometimes that wick got a little covering. Sometimes before they had to take trim. When they did, man, it would burn. Show a light. That's what God has to do to you and I sometimes. He has to take the wick and then that trim it up. You and I, that we could be able to shine like we should. That they can see a light. You probably raised up with them too, James. You probably know what I'm talking about. This young generation don't know. I know about it. I filled up my own lamp for many times with oil. You can smell that oil. Huh? If we've got oil in us, the lost people can smell it before we say anything. They'll know we're different. He said we're in the world, but we're not of the world. We died out for the world. Now, if you can't die out for the world, you better get back on the altar and get your dose of salvation, and God will plant you on a solid foundation that will never give. Now he gives us an example, another little animal. Man thinks he's so smart. Why don't he read the Bible? I thought I was something. Even my dad was a Baptist preacher, and I still thought I was a great fellow. You begin to hear the Bible preached. And I begin to slowly realize that I wasn't so great. Amen. I had a lot of flaws. And I didn't like it. I get mad. I say, God made me. Why is it this way? The old preacher say, well, it's the sin nature he inherited from Adam. Amen. And that was true. The sin nature we got from Adam. Now he said, he that builds him a house on the sand, the storm comes by, it'll wash it away. It won't stand. But he said, build on the rock. He gave us a little example of the book of Proverbs about a little coney. We know what that is. They're like a Arabian rat, something other, like a whatever, a rabbit. Some people say it's like a rabbit, some like a rat. Whatever it was, it's a coney, the Bible said. He said, it's so smart. When it builds its nest, it don't go down in the desert of the sand, where the sand is in the desert. It goes amongst the rocks, the Bible says, and makes its nest because he knows that the flood's going to come and it'll wash it away if he's not on solid foundation.
Amen, brother.
That'll teach us. To get on the solid foundation. We can't build our house this anymore. He gave us another example of Satan. The locust. He said the locust goes in bands. They have no leader. They all go the same way. But if they come in the time of the crops, and they will go and they will devour the complete crop, the locust will. They have no leader and they lead themselves. That's what Satan does. He leads himself in to corrupt people and get them in hell. Now, they devoured all the crops that the people needed. That's what Satan's trying to do, you and I. He's trying to devour what we've got so that we can't feed those that needs to be fed in the gospel. I'm coming to a close. Now look. How do you know that you're saved? Do you remember the time that you come? He said, what did he say? He said, "You, except you repent, you should all likewise perish. Turn from sin." Now he said, believe, faith come by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. How can they hear without a preacher? How can they preach without they've been sent? Brother, that's plain. Somebody have to be crazy to not understand that. God don't send everybody. Those that he picked, those that he said to go preach my gospel. And I've often wondered, I never said this to him, but my mind does a lot of ramblings. When God called me to preach, I thought, man, why are you calling me? There's people that's more qualified than I am to preach this gospel. He didn't answer me on that. He said, I called you. And he said, I will go with you. And I will give you the wisdom if you seek me. To preach my gospel. To one and all. Those that believe and is baptized shall be saved. Don't get confused in that now. These churches that is not saved, not a God's church, even though they use his name, they'll tell you all you have to do is come and join the church, and they'll ask you a couple of three questions. Come. They'll say, do you believe in God? Yes. Do you believe that Jesus came and died on the cross? Yes. Do you believe he rose the third morning? Yes. You're saved. Join the church. That's what they do. Deceiving people. Now, what if I got up here and I told the sinners, come, I come on up here. And you got up here and I say, now I want you to repeat after me. And I start praying a long prayer. Then I tell you at the end of it, say you're saved, and you're saved. Huh? Is God in that stuff? No, sir. You've got to have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. You've got to be brokenhearted. You've got to humble yourself and bow at the foot of Jesus. Except you come as humble as a little child, then you can no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's simple, friend. He's coming back. Are you ready? What is your trust in? Is it in some man? If it's in somebody that told you it was all right? Is it in grandpa and grandma that said you was okay? If you don't know it's okay, you better get on the altar. Because I'm not going to stand for you when he comes. I'm going to stand for myself and for what I tell you. If I'm the right kind of preacher, I'll tell you the truth. He said the truth will set you free, but a lie will keep you in bondage. That's it. I'm going to get us on. Look, friends. I'm here this morning for one reason. To tell you the truth. You must be born again. Without that, you're not going to heaven. And you don't get this mind tangled up. You don't switch it in your mind. The Bible says this natural mind is enmity to God. It's in reverse to what God is. So this mind can't think good enough to get saved. But the Spirit of God that's touching your soul, touching your heart. You've got a broken heart, contrite spirit. You know in yourself how you stand with God. What are you going to do with it while we stand? God said, come unto me, all ye laden and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You're in a turmoil. Your life's uncertain. Won't you come to Jesus? And he said, I'll give you rest. I'll give you peace. Come unto me. You're that laden and heavy laden. And I'll give you peace. He said, the very minute you believe in your heart with faith, I'll be found with you. That's all he asks us to do. We're not going to watch. We're not going to feel it before we believe it. We've got to believe it by faith, and then we will feel it. You've got to pray your own prayer. Your sins, God wants to hear from you, not me. I'll pray with you, but I can't do your prayer. You've got to do your own prayer. You've got to do your own asking. Lord, I'm lost. I'm a sinner. I want to be saved. I trust you. I believe it from the heart. The very minute you do that, he'll come right in. Give you the Spirit of Almighty God. You'll be baptized then, not with water. You'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. A lot of Baptists don't like to hear that, but I'm telling you, that's the baptism he's talking about when he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's what he's talking about. I mean, water, it just shows we died out to sin and raised in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ to walk in his likeness, and it shows the death and burial of Christ. That's all water baptism do. He joined us to a church. But God's talking about eternal. What are you going to do with it? He's coming, folks. We're in the end of time. Don't be deceived. Don't let nobody tell you. Believe what God said. You come to him the very minute you purpose in your heart. He's calling you, touching you, and you come to him. When you make a step towards him and bow, he'll be found with you. You say, preacher, I can't bow on my knees. I'm crippled. Brother, you don't have to bow on your knees, and you're crippled. You can sit in your seat and bow your heart before him. That's what you can do, and he'll say. You say, Brother Neil, why you bow? Because I can't. I ain't got so old I can't bend on my knees. Huh? I'm going to bend on my knees as long as I can. And I believe I'll do it till he comes. People look at me and smile and say, I don't know, preacher. I said, I don't either, but I've got that faith. See, we can't doubt. Believe what God said. As people told me, I just need to get the pulpit and preach. It's hard. You need to let up. How can you let up something that God called you to do? I said, talk to God about it, not me. Because I'm going to follow him. He took care of Daniel, didn't he? He took care of the Hebrew children. He'll take care of me. It's time to go home. I'll still be swinging high till he calls. Preaching the gospel. Telling people to repent. Come to the Lord. What about this morning? Are you here? Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Jesus wasn't ashamed of you to die for you. And certainly, you shouldn't be ashamed of him. Everybody needs to come. You say, people, preacher, I'm backsliding, not living right. The only way to get it straightened up is on the altar. That's it. Jesus is coming. If you miss it, folks, it's not going to be my fault. I told you the truth. You've got to repent and believe. Repent or perish. You've got a choice. You can go to hell or you can repent and go to hell. Either one. That's what Jesus said. He said, it's not my will that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. That's what he said in the book. Anybody need to come? Thank you for your prayers, your kind attention, and continue to pray for us. I'm not going to let up. I'm going to continue to preach the gospel till the breath goes out of this body. And then the preaching will be over, the work will be over, and I'll be carried to the other side. I'll be in peace and happiness. all rest. And I'll sing then. I can't sing with you now. I can hum with you. But I'll be able to sing with the choir then. And I'll be on tune. When the redeemed come marching in. God bless you. We turn it back over. Brother Dillon.
Certainly, I want to thank God for the message. I want to thank God for moving today. Certainly, if you were here, we would have loved to see you come and accept God in your heart. But I know God like I know God. He went home with me several times, every time. So I believe he'll do the same. Just heed the call. That's the only advice I can give you. It's the only thing I can say. It's the only thing I did. I didn't do anything else. All I did was accept it. All I did was say, I want you.
Yeah.
And he wants you back. You know, he wants you probably more than you want him. I can almost say that with a surety. But I'll say this. You have to answer their call for yourself. If it was up to us, the moment you walked in the door, we would have saved you. But it's not that way. You have to want it for yourself, and you have to ask God for yourself. And when you do that, the Bible says he'll be found with you that very moment. I appreciate the message. And I'm glad that I know in whom I believe. I know what I stand upon, and I know without a shadow of a doubt that someday I'll see him face to face. Is there anyone here this afternoon that has a testimony, anything they need to say before we close the service out? Take it home with you. No? Okay.
Brother Dillon?
Yeah. Yes.
Last Sunday night, it was a regular business meeting, and I guess it was snow. The church service was canceled for that night. So what I want to do today, Brother Jim, have you got a paper and pencil with you? We need to get a motion.
Alright, so we need a motion on the floor to postpone our business meeting until the first of the next month.
I'll make a motion that we postpone.
Okay.
Okay,
so we have a motion. Can I have a second, please? Great. All in favor? Any opposed? Alright, the motion carries. Thank you. Is there anything else, Brother Jerry, that you can think of? Because, let's see. Spaghetti dinner. Let's see. The next thing that's coming down the pipelines is the communion service, which is in April. That's April 13th. And then Easter Sunday is on April 21st. So we'll be doing our sunrise service and things like that, Easter egg hunt and all that kind of good stuff. But that's... that's in the future, and we have today. And as far as we know, we only have today. So we can plan for things, and we can hope and pray that we make it out that far. But the reality of it is, today is technically our last day. So let's live it like it is. Let's praise God like it is. You know, good. Lord willing, we'll be back tonight at 6 o'clock. Yes. That's right. McFarland family will be here on the 24th. It's a Sunday morning. Can anybody think of anything else? I'm awful at remembering stuff. No? Okay. Well, like we said, we gave you a couple of the announcements there. Go praying. Come praying. Come back tonight, 6 o'clock, ready and raring to go, because God will be.
Appreciate you. I'll do that.
She's just
not under.
Just.
testimony.
That's the main thing.
Tell Mark we said the Lord.
Hopefully, maybe she'll be with me today. She says she said she had to think she could set her Sunday school in church. And I took the Sunday school to her and that stuff. I feel it's my duty to be here. Maybe she'll try to make it tonight.
Yeah.
I just want to say for an old guy, you did all right.
All right, thank you. Who's old? Where's the old guy at, Harry?
I didn't see one. I see a couple guys. See the hair guys.
We'll see you tonight, Jerry. Thank you, man.